VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday here on this program, we interviewed Steve Miller, who is author of the book Foreshadows, 12 Mega Clues that Jesus' Return is Nearer Than Ever. Many contacted our bookstore at vcy.com to obtain this book, but he pointed to many things that are happening simultaneously right now in our world, such as the rise of globalism, the trends toward a one-world government, the spread of an all-invasive technology and surveillance, the progression toward a one-world economy, and many other issues, these 12 mega-clues, the foreshadows that Christ's return is drawing near. Well, one of the foreshadows that he wrote about in his book that we did not discuss yesterday and that we knew would be covering it further today is the increase of Christian persecution. And ladies and gentlemen, such persecution of believers in Christ is escalating around the globe. According to church tradition, June 29th marks the martyrdom of the Apostle Paul and has been declared the Day of the Christian Martyr. And each year, the Voice of the Martyrs introduces us to an individual or those who have been martyred for their faith with a reminder to not only pray for them in bonds, but also to remember the persecuted church. With us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Todd Nettleton. He is the Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration for the Voice of the Martyrs USA, also host of the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. He does serve as a voice for persecuted Christians and inspiring Christians with the faithfulness of Christ's followers in over 70 nations where they face persecution for being a follower of Jesus Christ. Todd is author of Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. And Todd, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thanks so much. It's good to be with you.
You've been on this program several times through the years, Todd, and speaking on this topic of Christian persecution. How would you describe the level of persecution over the past decade?
You know, it kind of depends where you look. There are some places where you could look and say, well, maybe it's getting a little bit better. Maybe it's not as bad as it used to be. Then there are places, I think of China. We have seen a just absolute crackdown against the church in China over the last 10 years, and it was already a restricted nation. It was already a place where Christians are persecuted, but the government there has just been, they've gone all out to control the church. I think of Afghanistan with the Taliban takeover, and you know, it's always been hard to be a Christian in Afghanistan. Typically, the first line of persecution is your own family members, but now the Taliban is the government. They are radical Muslims that are running the entire country. So, you know, I think in so many places it has gotten more difficult to be a Christian. It's gotten harder. There's been more persecution. But the good side of that story is that the church is still growing in those places. There are still Chinese Christians who are serving the Lord and evangelizing their neighbors. There are still Christians in Afghanistan, even with the Taliban in charge there. So we want to connect the body of Christ around the world and to remind ourselves as American Christians, yes, it is difficult, but we do have family in Afghanistan. We do have family in China, in Iran, and in all these other places.
We are quickly approaching the date of June 29th on our calendars. What is the significance of this date?
Well, you mentioned, according to church history, it is the day that the Apostle Paul was beheaded outside the city of Rome. And for us at Voice of the Martyrs, it is a day to think about those who have sacrificed their lives for the cause of Christ, and really partly to honor them and to honor that sacrifice, but also for us to think about, okay, what is it worth to see the gospel advanced? What is it worth to see my neighbors knowing Jesus Christ, following him? What is it worth to see people in my city reached with the gospel or people in a faraway country? To think about that sacrifice and think about how we value the kingdom of God. What would we be willing to give up to see it advanced? That's really what we want people to think about on Day of the Christian Martyr.
Well, Todd, this year you are recalling, retelling the story of John Chow. It takes us back to the year 2018. but a man called by God to take the gospel to the people of North Sentinel Island. That's one of the chain of islands outside of India, a place known as being the Forbidden Island. And I'd like you to tell us the story of John Chow that we not forget.
Well, this is really an amazing story. This is a young man who went to North Sentinel Island in 2018, was killed literally within hours of getting to the island, of having an encounter with the Sentinelese people, a people group that is completely unreached. Nobody even speaks their language, let alone have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And one of the interesting things about John's story is in the days and in the weeks after he was killed, the story that was told publicly, and it was told everywhere from the New York Times to NBC News to even GQ magazine ran a story about John. Most of those stories presented the idea of this kind of adventurer, adrenaline junkie, explorer who was so far off the beaten path and he got himself killed. And a lot of the coverage had the idea that he basically deserved it. You know, why was he even going to that island? What was he doing there? Of course he got himself killed. But then as you dig a little deeper, and I'm thrilled that we get to do that here at Voice of the Martyrs for Day of the Christian Martyr, for our magazine in the month of June, we told John's story. The reality is this is a young man who, as a teenager, God called him to go to North Sentinel Island. And every decision that he made for 9 years was with an eye towards landing on that beach, being able to learn the language, being able to learn about the people and be accepted by them and have the chance to live among them and present the gospel ultimately to them. Every single decision, and when I say every decision, I mean even all through college, John took cold showers because he knew I'm not going to have a hot water heater on the island. I need to prepare my body to take cold showers. He got LASIK surgery on his eyes because he knew, you know, without running water, how am I going to take care of my contact lenses? I won't be able to do that. I better get LASIK surgery. That's what I mean by every day. Even down to those kind of decisions, every decision was with an eye towards going to that island. He took linguistics training. He got certified as an EMT to hopefully serve the people medically. He took anthropological training to learn, okay, when you land on an island with people who don't speak your language and have never welcomed outsiders, how do you make contact? How do you do that? How do you get accepted? All of those things John had thought about and planned for and written. And so
I think that's important. That's important, Todd, because this is not just some whim. He had planned this for a number of years to go to this location. We've heard the term all in, and that was him, as it was to go to this island. And as you outlined for us here, everything he did, this was on his mind. I'm going there for a specific purpose. Continue on with the story there.
Everything that he did, exactly like you say, every decision, everything he did was with an eye to preparing for that. And so, like you say, a lot of the coverage was like he just sort of woke up that morning and decided to go to North Sentinel Island. That is so far from the truth and so far from who John was. So we're excited to be able to tell his story this month. And really, like I say, not just to say, wasn't John amazing and wasn't he a great guy? Yes, he was. But to challenge each of us to think about, hey, what am I willing to sacrifice to see people reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
He had a plan A and a plan B. Tell us about it.
He did. You know, plan A was he's going to go there. He's going to live there as long as it took. And literally the idea was he's just going to live on that island now. It's not like, you know, we think of missionaries, hey, I'm going to go for a 4-year term and then I'm going to come home for a year of furlough. Nope, his plan was, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to be a Sentinelese. I'm going to live there among them. I'm going to learn the language, and eventually I'll be able to understand the people and understand the language well enough to share the gospel with them. Plan B was, hey, I know what has happened to others who have gone to North Sentinel Island. They've been killed. And if that's what happens to me, if in fact I lay down my life, I'm willing to do that. He wrote in his journal the night before he was killed, Lord, I don't want to die. I think I could be more useful to you if I'm still alive. But if that's your plan, I accept that. And so John went with very clear eyes about what could happen. And he was willing to make that sacrifice.
He knew, actually, that this could cost him everything. And he was willing, really, Todd, to lay down everything, put everything down on the line to fulfill God's call upon his life to go to this island.
He Absolutely was. He had counted that cost even from the time he was a teenager. I talked to, as I was writing the article for our June magazine, I talked to one of the people who worked with John in the ministry, and this guy was leading the ministry. John was kind of assisting and helping him, and he would talk about, you know, wouldn't it be great if the ministry grew? Wouldn't it be great if, you know, instead of reaching hundreds of people, we were reaching thousands of people? And he said John would look at him and say, man, I hope that happens for you and whoever God sends to help you, but I'm going to be on the island. It won't be me because I'm going to be on the island. And so he knew, even as a teenager, even as a very young man, he knew that's what God had called him to do, and he was willing to pay any price and make any sacrifice to answer that call.
Well, prior to going to the island, he had a prayer, and you quote that in your article from John's journal. Thank you, Father, for using me, for shaping me, and molding me to be your ambassador. Holy Spirit, please open the hearts of the tribe to receive me, and by receiving me, to receive you. May your kingdom, your rule, and reign come now to North Sentinel Island. My life is in your hands, O Father, so into your hands I commit my spirit. What dedication there, and it was not long after this, he actually kayaked to the island, and if you could unfold for us what happened.
Well, the first day he went to the island, he presented gifts. He had talked to another missionary who had reached a completely unreached people. They had talked about, okay, what did you do on day one? What did you give them? How did you present yourself to them to try to be accepted? And so he had brought gifts to the island. He had brought gifts of fish, gifts of fish hooks and some tools, and he laid those out, and he thought things were going well, and then a young boy on the island actually strung an arrow in his bow and fired it at John. It impaled in the Bible that John was holding, and so he knew, okay, they're not going to welcome me right now. He backed away. Eventually, he got separated from his kayak. He ended up having to swim back to the boat, and that's when he kind of thought about and prayed about, okay, Lord, is this really what you're calling me to do? Should I go? Should somebody else go? Should I go home and try to come back later? And he really felt like the Lord had called him, and he was answering that call. And again, with eyes wide open to the fact that it could cost him his life, and yet he returned to the island the next day, and unfortunately he was killed.
What do we know about those last hours?
You know, we don't know a lot. There were some fishermen that John had hired to take him out to the island. They reported to the police that they saw the islanders burying a body that matched the description of John, matched his clothing, matched the description of him. But we don't know exactly what happened before that. You know, how was he killed? How soon after he landed on the beach was he killed? Those are questions we won't know the answers to until eternity.
But one of the answers we do, or things we do know, is his journal that was left behind, and he closed off a lot of his entries with a Latin phrase. What was that?
That Latin phrase, soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. And one of John's last journal entries, he actually prayed for the people who would come after him. You know, Lord, if I don't survive tomorrow, if I don't live, I pray for those who will come after me with the gospel. Give them a double portion of your spirit. So someday somebody is going to go and take the gospel to the Sentinelese people, and they will go with the knowledge that John has already prayed for them.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Todd Nettleton is our guest today from the Voice of the Martyrs, and we're talking about the Day of the Christian Martyr. Retelling the story of John Chow, and we'll have more information on him and persecution around the world after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is any progress being made in cloning attempts?
Chris, there is a lot of work in cloning going on these days, but all is not so rosy in clone land. Often when clones are born, they exhibit diseases which normally are restricted to older specimens. For instance, Dolly the sheep, the first mammal cloned, died of old age about the same time as her mother died of old age. Recently, four cloned pigs all died of old age-related diseases within 6 months of being born. This should make us stop and think before cloning humans. Are we going to have elderly babies? It's not really known yet. There are a lot of good reasons not to go ahead with human cloning. This is just one of them. It's best to go back to Genesis and recognize that humans are created in the image of God and therefore deserve protection.
Visit our website at www.icr.org.
This is Crosstalk. It comes your way from the VCY American Network. Todd Nettleton, our guest today from the Voice of the Martyrs, and we're talking about the Day of the Christian Martyr. June 29th marks the church history anniversary, so to speak, of the martyrdom of the Apostle Paul. You can read his account in 2 Timothy as he expected his life to soon be poured out, just like a drink offering before the Lord, saying those words, "I have fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I have kept the faith," and to recognize that there was a crown of righteousness that awaited him, but not him only, but unto all those also that love is appearing. Todd, as we were talking about John Chow here, and we'll talk about some other nations around the world, there are many that have described him in secular media and has even received criticism from believers in Christ. Well, he was just a misguided missionary. What a waste of his life. What's your response to that?
You know, it's hard to answer. And for me, the frustration is the people in the church. You know, the world is going to misunderstand us. Jesus promised that if we follow him, the world will hate us. So it shouldn't surprise us that John would be mocked by people in the world. The people in the church is the ones that really concern me, to say, you know what, the Great Commission, that's outdated. That doesn't apply anymore. Or, you know what, the Great Commission, Jesus was talking about people on mainlands. He wasn't talking about people on islands. Or, you know what, if the people have been hostile before to outsiders, then they're exempt from the Great Commission. They're not the ones we're talking about. And those things are not true. Jesus called us to go into all the world and make disciples. The book of Revelation promises that people from every tribe and tongue and nation will be gathered around the throne of Christ. That means the Sentinelese people will be among those represented around the throne of Christ. And so that's the concern for me, is people within the church who somehow think that the Great Commission is outdated or that there are some people who are exempt from it. And so I hope John's example will kind of challenge that thinking and challenge people to think more deeply about, no, Jesus really did mean all the world. He did mean every tribe and tongue and nation. We need to go to the places where people don't know and haven't heard the name of Christ. And we need to understand that has always been a costly endeavor. Mm. It has always cost bloodshed to break open a new field for the gospel. And John is just another example of what we've seen throughout history.
So you're saying the end of the story has not been written yet for this island?
The end of the story has not been written yet. You know, we know there will be Sentinelese people around the throne of Christ. We don't know yet who will be the one who will go and share the gospel and be accepted among the people there. That part of the story is still to be written, and it's something that John's story has challenged me personally, to pray for the Sentinelese people, pray that God will send someone to reach them, pray that the Holy Spirit will go ahead and prepare the way for that person. But that part of the story is still to be written.
And friends, John's life taken, that was November of 2018, and Todd, while we remember the life of John Chow, we also want to be aware of what's happening in locations around the world today. I mean, just today I saw a headline that churches in Nigeria continue to be attacked. Some 35 pastors in this story said have been abducted and killed in the last 17 months. And beyond pastors, there are many others that are being killed. Tell us what is going on, I mean, here today, 2022, in Nigeria.
Well, just a few days ago, on Sunday, two more churches were attacked in Nigeria, in Kaduna State. This resulted in at least three deaths and 30 people being kidnapped out of these churches. You go two Sundays before that, there was a major church attack where 40 people were killed. It was a very well-organized attack. Some people went in and started shooting. There were other gunmen outside waiting by the door so that as people inside the church tried to flee, they were shot leaving the church, coming out of the church. And the other thing about that attack in particular is it happened in Ondo State, which is in sort of southeastern Nigeria. not in northern Nigeria, where you see attacks like this happen fairly regularly. The attacks on Sunday were in Kaduna in the north. This attack 2 weeks ago, though, in a place where Christians don't fear those kinds of attacks, they don't expect that to happen, that has really got the attention of Christians in Nigeria. They're like, wait a minute, we knew this could happen in the north, but now it's happening here. Now it's happening in places where it didn't happen before. What is our government going to do to protect us, and why is this radical Islam? Why are these attacks on the church spreading? Those are questions that our Nigerian Christian brothers and sisters are very concerned about right now.
And so we need to be praying for them as well.
Absolutely. That is the first request. And one of the things, particularly as it relates to Nigeria, early next year there will be national elections in Nigeria. There will be a new president elected. It is quite possible that these kinds of violence will actually go up between now and the election. And so it definitely is a strategic time to be in prayer for the nation of Nigeria, and especially for our Christian brothers and sisters there.
And friends, this Sunday is a fitting time to do that as we approach the day of the Christian martyr. And we're just going to pause here for a moment, Todd, to let people know you've got some resources to raise awareness for this issue, bulletin inserts and other information. Tell us about it.
We do have some great resources for Day of the Christian Martyr, and they are all free, and they are all digital. So you can download them even if you wait till late Saturday night. You could download them in time for Sunday morning service. Persecution.com is the main Voice of the Martyrs website. You can always sign up for our free magazine there. But right now, right at the top of the page is a picture of John Chow, the Day of the Christian Martyr logo. Click on that and go and look at these resources. There's a three-minute video that tells John's story, actually uses his own words from his journal to tell the story of John Chow. There's a sermon outline if you're a pastor and you want to draw some of this into your message on Sunday morning. You mentioned church bulletin inserts that you can print out and put in your church bulletin on Sunday. There are some discussion questions. If you're a Sunday school class teacher or a youth leader and you want to kind of bring this into your discussion, there's some discussion questions there. So lots of resources to help people tell John's story and hold up his example. And again, challenge each of us. Hey, Jesus Christ and his kingdom are worth everything. Any sacrifice that he asks me to make is worth it. John Chow is just one example of that.
Okay, again, folks, the website is persecution.com, persecution.com. And Todd, if people listening now want to actually download that video to show at their church, is that okay?
That is absolutely okay. That's why we created the video. It's there. You can sign up and download it and absolutely show it in your church, show it to your family, show it to your Sunday school class or Bible study group. We want as many people as possible to know about John's story, to know about his sacrifice.
Okay, again, Day of the Christian Martyr is next week, June the 29th, and this coming Lord's Day is a great opportunity to make your local church aware of this. We're talking also about not only John Chow, but about persecution taking place around the world today as we speak. And we just mentioned Nigeria here just a moment ago, but I understand, Todd, also that there's a number of arrests that are taking place in Eritrea. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, this is a story that is ongoing and unfortunately has been ongoing for years now. Just within the last 10 days, 25 more Christians meeting together for a house worship service. The house was raided, 25 Christians arrested. 17 of them are adults. Some of them were married couples with children. The children, 8 children, were arrested as well. So they were rounded up, just like their parents, taken down to the police station, put under arrest in Eritrea. The number right now, somewhere between 250 and 300 Christians in prison in Eritrea. None of them have been charged with a crime. None of them have had a trial or had a lawyer or had a prison sentence. They simply are arrested, they disappear into the prison system, and they're gone until they come out. And we don't know if that's days or months or years. I got a picture this week, a message from our field leader for Eritrea, a picture of the daughter of Pastor Haile Naizgi. Pastor Haile was arrested in 2004. I actually was in Eritrea in 2004. I met Pastor Haile just a few months before he was arrested. His daughter graduated from university just within the last few days. I got a picture of her graduation ceremony this week, and I texted back our field leader, man, I'm so happy for her for this great accomplishment. And I'm heartbroken that her father is still in prison 18 years later. He's still in prison. This is another family milestone that he has missed because he's in prison for the gospel of Christ in Eritrea. And so I would encourage people, pray for those who have just been arrested. Pray also for people like Pastor Haile, who have been in prison now 18 years. And again, no charges, no, it's not like they were sentenced to 20 years and they can count down the days until they're released. They don't know how long they'll be there. They don't know if they'll be released tomorrow or 15 years from now. And imagine just the frustration and the concern and the confusion of dealing with that every single day. And pray for our brothers and sisters in Eritrea.
My. Todd, the list doesn't end because I know also in Vietnam there have been some new laws that are being proposed that really impact religion. What's happening in Vietnam?
Yeah, this is interesting. Vietnam is a communist country. The church is already under very strict laws about what they can do, where they can meet, having to register their churches. The government of Vietnam has now proposed a new set of laws that would replace the old ones that tighten the controls even more. A couple of things that are in these proposed new laws: all local church activities must be reported to the government 1 year in advance. So if you're going to have Wednesday night Bible study in June of 2023, you need to go down to the local government office now and tell them about that. Here's we're going to have Bible study. Here's where it's going to be. Here's what we're going to study a year in advance.
Wow.
Another thing about these new laws, if they do become the law, online activity is treated exactly the same as an in-person meeting, according to the law. So if you're going to have a Zoom meeting next June, you need to go get that approved today as well. So those are some of the things. Now, the government has posted what they are calling these proposed new laws. They have invited feedback. So they have said, you know, we want to hear from people. What do you think of these? The Christians in Vietnam right now are preparing a response. Some of the church leaders that Voice of the Martyrs is in contact with, they are working on a letter to say, hey, we don't think this is a good idea. Please don't do this. Please pray for them as they're writing that letter and as this review process is going forward. There is still hope that these will not be put into effect, but if they are, it really presents a significant challenge for the church in Vietnam.
Friends, it's happening all over, but there's also good news. I understand, Todd, you've got a story of a very significant conversion in Bangladesh.
We do. This is a great story. I heard in taping a future episode of Voice of the Martyrs Radio last week, an imam in Bangladesh, he was reading the Quran, and he saw mention of Isa, Jesus. And he thought, you know, the Quran mentions this guy. I'd like to know more about him. He started asking around, and he got his hands on a Bible. He began to read about Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah, and he believed what he read in the Bible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. This imam, Muslim leader, the leader of a local mosque, he believed what he was reading, and he actually went and started sharing that in his mosque. He said, look, the Quran talks about Jesus, so I went and studied up on Jesus, and this is what Jesus said. I think that is true. Ultimately, obviously, that's not going to be popular in your local mosque. And so he was kicked out of the mosque. His own brothers beat him and tried to force him to return to Islam. He is now being discipled and trained as an evangelist, and he is a very bold evangelist. Who better to answer the questions of Muslims with questions than a former imam who is now a follower of Jesus Christ?
Praise the Lord. Folks, you're tuned to Crosstalk on VCY America. Todd Nettleton with us. Did you write down the website? Persecution.com. Persecution.com. At the top of the page there, you'll find information on the date of June 29th, the Day of the Christian Martyr. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
When it comes to eternity, most people assume they will go to heaven thinking their good deeds will outweigh their bad, and God will allow them entrance. At most funerals, people will console one another saying they are in a better place. But how do you know that? How do you know if you will be in a better place? In the book, Are You Going to a Better Place?, author Richard Schmidt presents how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you are on your way to heaven. See, after you die, there will be no negotiation with God. The scriptures provide the one way today that God's justice can be satisfied guaranteeing that you will be in an eternal dwelling place with Him. One copy of this book is available for a donation of $10, three for $24, or five copies for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
Todd Nettleton is our guest here today, the Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration for the Voice of the Martyrs, USA, and their website, persecution.com. That's persecution.com. And Todd, you mentioned earlier people can sign up for your free monthly magazine. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right at the top of the page at persecution.com, there's a button that says free magazine. Just click on that. Give us your name and address. We would love to send you every month our magazine, so you know where persecution is happening, you know how God is moving in hostile and restricted nations, and specifically, you'll know how to pray specifically for our brothers and sisters around the world.
You know, going back to John Chow, who's you're remembering here today during this Day of the Christian Martyr, you have quotes from his diary. God, I don't want to die. Who will take my place if I do? Why did the little kid have to shoot me today? His high-pitched voice still lingers in my head. Father, forgive him and any of the people on this island who try to kill me, and especially forgive them if they succeed. Lord, strengthen me as I need your strength and protection and guidance and all that you give and are. Whoever comes after me to take my place, whether it's after tomorrow or another time, please give them a double anointing and bless them mightily. Such a dedication, a commitment to reaching these people with the gospel message. And really, the prayer is that his prayer be answered for somebody else to reach this people group.
The prayer, exactly. And John had a picture, an aerial view of the island taped to his dorm room wall all through his college years. I have actually printed out off of Google Maps the same picture, a picture of North Sentinel Island. I've got it stuck up on my whiteboard here in my office to remind me to keep praying for God to send someone to reach the Sentinelese people with the gospel.
Todd, just within the hour before we came on this interview today, I had received a text from a missionary, and he told me this in the text. He wrote that last night's earthquake in Afghanistan killed over 1,000 people. He writes, Afghani believers are having a rough time. They realize all too well the brevity of life issue. And they quoted them saying, we feel a deep sense of loss. The majority or possibility all who died have not heard of life in Christ, have not yet heard of life in Christ. We did not get to them soon enough. My question to you, Todd, are we losing this sense of urgency of reaching others with the gospel message in our present day of 2022?
You know, I think that is a very valid concern, and I think we have adopted many, and I include myself in this, many of us as American Christians, we kind of have this live and let live mentality. Well, you know, if they wanted to know about God, then they would know, they could find out, they could Google it or whatever, and we don't have that attitude of, hey, my neighbor could be called into eternity tomorrow. Have I shared the gospel with him? Have I taken every opportunity to present Jesus to him, to let him know that Jesus lives and Jesus loves him? Those are questions, and that sense of urgency is something that we do need to be sure we keep that front and center in our minds.
Friends, we're opening our phone lines here today on Crosstalk, and if perhaps you have a question here pertaining to John Chow or that of the Day of the Christian Martyr or that of persecution, the persecuted church. Perhaps there's a particular area of the country that has been on your heart. Pick up your phone. Give us a call here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. And ladies and gentlemen, I trust your heart's been burdened even through listening to the account of John Chow here today. You're going to go to persecution.com and download some resources and make them available to others. But the matter of Christian persecution is before us, and we're to remember those in bonds as being in bonds with them, Scripture tells us. Our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. And I also learned today, Todd, that a rocket hit a church in Ukraine. During a prayer meeting time, five women died. Others were wounded. The persecution that's happening there of believers is also something to bring to the forefront of our listeners.
It certainly is. And we have seen that, and we're starting to get more and more reports from the Russian-controlled areas. Hey, Are you part of the Russian Orthodox Church? No, you're not. Okay, well, then we need to ask you some questions. We need to put pressure on you. We have heard of pastors even being detained by the Russian troops when they take over certain areas there. So definitely something that deserves our attention, deserves our prayers as we watch Russia advance and as we see their influence advance in the places where they're in control.
Friends, we don't often like to think of persecution, do we? I mean, we like to just shove this out of our minds. And Todd, you mentioned we have the live and let live mentality here today. But we must come back and understand and remember those who have laid down their lives for the advancement of the gospel, those who are suffering today. Maybe it's just because of holding a copy of scripture or just saying the name of Jesus Christ to somebody else. I mean, these are real situations that are going on, and we become so haphazard in our own relationship with Christ.
It's one of the great things that our brothers and sisters, I think, would really challenge us on, because, you know, they look at this as an illegal activity. This is something that could put my life in danger. I could go to jail for this. And then they would say to us as Americans, you have freedom. You can do this. Why aren't you? You know, why aren't you using that freedom? Why aren't you taking advantage of the legal protections that you have? Why aren't you doing this? And so I think that's a good reminder and a good challenge, although at times it's an uncomfortable challenge for us. But it's good to be reminded, hey, we have all this freedom. What are we doing with it? Our brothers and sisters in Iran would love to have the freedoms that we have. In China, they would love to have the freedoms that we have. But what are we doing with it to advance the gospel?
Our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. Have some open lines, 800-733-9829. Friends, your comments here today on this matter of persecution and what's taking place presently in our world, as well as certainly we remember those who have given their lives on account of the gospel's sake, and also the commitment, the question, what are we willing to do? Let's go to Philip in Richland, Washington. Hi, Philip, you're on the air.
Thank you. I wish to talk about the Victory World Outreach, which is in Africa. And these people are putting on a play, and they're getting high-tech companies to support this activity, and it's going to cost $90,000 to generate the necessary equipment to create a living sacrifice to God, where a person is tied up to a cross, and the Roman soldiers beat him, and he is killed, and the response is amazing. They're saying they get 800 to 900 people coming to salvation because of this.
Well, taking the purpose taking of a life, is that what they're doing here, Philip?
Activity
in Philip.
Africa.
Hello, Philip. Philip. I said, are they purposely taking a life?
No, they're not taking a life. They're just imitating that by tying him to a cross.
I see. Okay, so they're depicting that from taking place. I'm not familiar with this. I don't know if you've heard of this before, Todd.
I have not. I'm not familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. But thank you for bringing that to our attention here today, Philip. David in Menominee Falls, you're on the air.
Thank you for the show today, both of you, that we're all expected to die for Christ if that happens. But Richard Wurmbrandt, I guess the founding voice of the martyrs, was a Jew who found the Lord in prison in, you know, Russia, and also washed the knee 20 years or so in China. But Richard Wurmbrandt was a Jewish man that found the Lord, and look at all he did. And I got a tape of his where he spoke at a church. And then the last thing, there's a Dumitru Duduman, it's the book is Through the Fire Without Burning, Romanian pastor, and smuggled 300,000 Bibles during the Russian, and then he got put over here, but he went through a lot of persecution, and he says America's under judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Thanks for sharing everything.
Thank you for the call. And I know, Todd, you know well the story of Richard Wurmbrandt.
Yeah, Richard Wurmbrandt and his wife Sabina, the founders of the Voice of the Martyrs. As David mentioned, Richard was in prison for 14 years. Sabina was also in prison for 3 years. They were ransomed out of Romania. People paid a ransom to the government to get them out, and they founded the Voice of the Martyrs now 50-some-odd years ago. So we stand on the shoulders of giants, and they certainly were giants of the faith.
And you can even learn more of their story through persecution.com. You've got resources there as well.
We do. We have Richard's book, Tortured for Christ. We have other books about the Wormbrands. Actually, Tortured for Christ is now a feature film, so you can watch the film and see their story as well.
Let's go to Calumet, Michigan, and we have Leonard calling. Hi, Leonard. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a couple questions. Doesn't God have the power and the inclination to teach unreached people everything he wants them to know? What can someone like John Chell offer that couldn't be directly provided by God?
Todd, how do we respond to this?
A very good question, and certainly God has the power to do anything he wants to do. He called John to go and share with the Sentinelese people. So could he have done something differently? Yes. Perhaps he will at some point do something differently. Certainly the Holy Spirit. We have had, you know, multiple stories from around the world of Jesus appearing to someone or some other miraculous thing happening. And I think, you know, it's one of those questions we may wrestle with on earth. We will hopefully get answers in eternity if we still care at that point. But yes, certainly God could have done something different. What God did do is he called John Chow, and thankfully John Chow was obedient to answer that call.
Do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, it seems, you know, when you look all through history, and especially like looking at biblical history, God never seems to tell two people in two distant areas the same thing. It's always like a single man and usually a man alone who gets some revelation.
Yeah, God does.
And I think that I think that speaks to, you know, that doesn't look good for religion.
Well, no, God calls, and that call is to all, Leonard, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to proclaim the good news. I mean, I think of Paul's letter to the Romans. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And then we see how beautiful are the feet of those that, you know, preach, you know, this gospel, this good news. And Todd, God does call us to go into the world. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are the light, to be the light of, you know, the light and salt here upon this earth.
We are to be the light. And one of the things about John's story is John made four trips to the region around North Sentinel Island before his final trip to go to the island. And one of the things he was doing was trying to check if someone else was already going to North Sentinel Island, if there was, say, Christians from India or Christians from that region that were already trying to go to the island, then he thought, well, that's great. I'll just help them. I'll just do whatever they need me to do to serve them. As he went to churches in the islands, as he began to ask those questions, there was nobody else going. And so John thought, okay, no one else is going. God has called me to go. I'm going to go. So it's one of the parts of his story. If there had been someone else already going, John would have happily served in a support role, probably, you know, maybe not been the one to actually set foot on the island, but did not find anyone else who was answering that call. And so he said, here am I, send me.
Leonard, thank you for the call here. And you should also mention 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. For Paul's tongue, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is God's chosen way, Todd, for us to take the gospel to reach others.
It is. And again, you know, I keep going back to the Great Commission. Go into all the world. And whether it's one person who hears that call or 100, it is the call of Christ. We need to go.
We'll be back in 1 minute. Todd Nettleton is with us as we talk about the Day of the Christian Martyr. Their website is persecution.com, persecution.com. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Dr. Andy Woods and I did a series on the similarities between the days of Noah and today, per Matthew 24:37-39, that says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be just before the return of the Lord. How about the similarities? Population explosion, technological advancement, insensitivity toward God, ridicule of God's people, violence, demonic inspiration, sexual deviancy, genetic tampering, and then salvation's availability, and then judgment's inevitability. just as it was in the days of Noah. So many of these things are happening today. The ark was how Noah's family was protected from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ, the Bible describes as the ark today, still able to protect us from the wrath of God by coming in simple faith and trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Judgment's coming. Are you in the ark?
Todd Edelman with us here today on the Day of the Christian Martyr, our topic on Crosstalk, June 29th being that day that the martyrdom of the Apostle Paul is remembered. It's declared the Day of the Christian Martyr here according to church tradition. You can get resources at persecution.com, persecution.com. Just before we pick up our next caller, and the call that had come earlier from the individual, you know, couldn't God have chosen some other way in reaching these people? And people said, well, what a waste his life was. But, Todd, this is the same thing that they said about people like Peter Fleming and Jim Elliot and Ed McCauley, Roger Udarian, and Nate Saint, the five missionaries killed trying to reach a people group in Ecuador. Their lives were taken. They were said to just be, wasted their lives. But, my, did God have a miraculous story to that he was in the development of making through them giving their lives.
You know, I don't believe that God will ever waste the sacrifice of his people. And you mentioned those five men in Ecuador. I think of Robert Thomas, who was called to Korea and was killed on the riverbank, literally right after he got off the boat. And, you know, you could say of him, what a waste. He didn't even get a chance to preach. He didn't even get a chance to learn the language. But God used that to open the doors of Korea for the gospel. And so God is never going to waste the sacrifices of his people, and he's certainly not going to waste the sacrifice of John Chow.
Let's go back to the phone lines here. We've got, Diana in Boulder, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes. Due to a car accident when I was a child, I have a visual impairment and much physical pain, so my mother began to read to me Voice of the Martyrs. And one Bible verse in Voice of the Martyrs is, remember those that are in prison as if imprisoned with them, mm-hmm. and those that are suffering as if you yourself in the body. And when I began to pray for people, I found my physical pain became so much less and less. And we are living stones built up upon Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And among one of those living stones is the Apostle Paul. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. A verse of encouragement, Todd, from a listener that Voice of the Martyrs has impacted her life.
Thank you so much, Diana, and I agree with you. As we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters, whatever challenges we're facing, it just gives us more perspective. It gives us a better perspective of whatever's in front of us as we kind of pray for the body of Christ and as we experience that fellowship that exists around the world of God's people.
Leonard in Baraboo, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just calling. I appreciate your program today. And Brother Nettleton, I get the Voice of the Martyr magazine, and it's a blessing to get that, to read what God is doing around the world and the church. But I just got to say, as far as with the other gentleman that called about, going to unreached peoples and just like you said a moment ago, that I know this young man's life, John Chose, was not in vain. I know God's going to use it, and I'm sure he already has. I think of the story of William Booth Clever, if you ever heard of him or not.
I have not.
Okay. He was a grandson, I got a great-grandson of William Booth, the one of the Salvation Army, and he went to Africa, and anyway, he sounded like a lot like this young man that gave as much of, devoted his life and studied, to be a missionary. When he got there at the time, I believe it's like the early 1900s, that he got blackwater fever in Africa and he died. Well, anyway, he's buried over there, and when they come to his funeral, the thousands of the African people came to him because they heard about this young man that gave his life to bring him the story of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so his life was not in vain. And so I know this young man's life is not in vain, and that's to be a living sacrifice. So yeah. I give honor, thank God for this young man for what he's done, and that's the ultimate price.
Great.
It says the Lord.
Thank you so very much. Testimony to all of us. Lori in Michigan, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I also am a supporter, an avid supporter of Voice of the Martyrs, and I just really appreciate your ministry. I was just thinking, when I got that article, like the gentleman that was just on,
mm-hmm.
I started reading it. In fact, I was reading it out loud to my husband, and I started praying for the people on the island, and I just wonder how many people like me that never knew about this island and these people over there started praying for them. So we think that, no, it was not in vain. God is going to greatly use John's life, just like Mr. Borden, who he went all in to go to the mission field. Yeah, he didn't make it, but what happened, his zeal for the Lord and his passion was contagious, and that's really what I believe. And God will use this man's life, and he will reach that island. And like Todd Middleton said, there's going to be we're going to see that results in heaven someday.
God bless you, Lori. Thank you for the call. Yeah, our lives continue to be impacted here by John Chow. Colleen in Venice, Florida, you're on the air.
Hi. I also wanted to say thank you for Voice of the Martyrs and Crosstalk, both powerful ministries. I love them both. And that testimony, when I read in your magazine this month or last month, just really was powerful and touched me too. And it made me think of this scripture, which is one of my favorites, if I could read it quickly. 1 Peter 3:13-16. Who is he who would harm you if you should become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I'm just sure that people like that keep people in ministries of that sort, in dangerous ministries, keep that at the forefront of their minds. There's so many scriptures like that that just call us to step out, whether there's danger, whether we're fearful or not, and we're blessed in doing so.
Indeed. We're out of time, Colleen. Thank you for the call. Todd, we've got just under 30 seconds. What do you want to leave with our listeners today on this topic?
You know, I appreciate so much Lori's call, and that was one of my prayers in writing the article, that thousands of people will pray for North Sentinel Island, will pray for the Sentinelese people to hear the gospel, and so that really encourages me, and I hope that spreads.
Amen. Well, Todd, thank you for carving the hour out with us for us here today, and to share the testimony of John Chow, and may it be a motivator for many here to reach others with the gospel.
Thanks so much for having me.
And folks, again, the website is persecution.com, persecution.com. As Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? He said, here am I, send me.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.